Well, thank you, Sister Leah. No greater story than that, is there? My, my, my. His life for mine. Open your Bible to the book of Luke this morning. We're going to ask you to go to Luke chapter 19. Going to read a few verses covering a parable that the Lord gave and kind of take a look at what he was teaching us there this morning. I'm going to title these, we do this for the tape room, try to put a title. Now, sometimes they don't like my title up there and they put their own. And when I look for it, then I can't find it. But anyway, I'm going to call it Sending a Message to God. Sending a Message to God. You know, we're in the messaging business today. You walk through the forest with somebody and you want to listen to the birds and the crickets and all you can hear is their phone beeping. Amen. That's where we live at today. Messages going back and forth. Isn't it amazing that all this many years through the air we could have been doing that and didn't know it? Wonder what else we don't know, huh? Sending a message to God. Portion I read here will be that. I think about, you know, the message, to have a message, you know, messaging back and forth. This one goes here, one comes back, get an answer coming back and so forth. We send a message to God, I guess we would think about it in this way, maybe sending it up. And if we're going to get a message from God, we'd kind of think about it maybe coming down. Reminds me of the little boy that was so curious about why his sister took so long getting in the gate when her and her boyfriend walked home down the lane, the old country lane at night. So he slipped out his bedroom window, climbed up in the big oak tree over the gate. He wanted to see what was going on at the gate. Sure enough, here they come, stopped at the gate, and her boyfriend kind of thought himself a poet, I reckon. Because he kind of looked up, didn't see the kid in the tree, but he looked up like he was looking to heaven. And he said, "Father, Father, up above, shall I kiss my beloved?" Little boy's up in the oak tree, and he said, "Sinner, sinner, down below, pucker up and let her go." Now, back and forth message, up and down, right? All right. All right, I'll get serious with you. Let's go to chapter 19 of Luke. I want to pick it up in verse 10. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom," and I hope you know your Bible enough to know this is a parallel to what Jesus is doing. "It came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded that these servants be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. He saith unto him, well, thy good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I had not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? He said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound that I, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. They said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me. Now the setting here of the parable, Zacchaeus has been saved, and the Lord here is giving this parable, he says, right in the front here, because there's a bunch of them thinking the kingdom ought to come down. There's a lot of things this parable will teach us. One of the things it'll teach us is to wait on the Lord. The other thing is that we won't be lazy and still while we wait, that we'll be serving him. God wants us to work while we wait. You're not doing right, Christian, if you're not serving God after you get saved, if you're not doing something for the Lord. And verse 10 tells us what we ought to be doing. Jesus came to seek and save that was lost, and that's still our big job. I know sometimes folks will come to me as a pastor and they'll say, what can I do? Well, what does the Bible tell you to do? Nothing beats telling somebody else about Jesus. That's the job. That's the main job. Now, I want to go through the parable a little bit because of my limited time, and I want to just see a few things here. To begin with, I want you to see the message. My theme here, the message, sending a message to God. I want you to see the message that was sent here in verse 14. And his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we'll not have this man reign over us. That was their rebellion. The religious Jews, when they were trying to convince Pilate to crucify Christ, you remember what they said? He said, behold your king. And they said, we have no king but Caesar. Do you understand that their hatred for Christ, had gotten so big that they were saying something they absolute abhorred. They abhorred the fact that somebody was over them. And especially in their religion, to say that Caesar was their king, that was a big blasphemy, a big violation. But they hated Jesus enough, they were willing to say that. And they didn't want him to reign over them. You know, I look around today and I see a lot of the same hatred in our country today. I saw where, you know, the crowd, the guy that started taking a knee for and not bowing at on the football field of the national anthem. I saw where the NAA, that's the National Education Association, gave him their highest honor recently. There's some hatred for America right there. And some of you listening to me in radio, you are public school teachers, and there's some maybe in the building right now, and my heart goes out to you that are saved and would love to tell some kids what the real truth is and what the answer is, but you belong to a very anti-American association when they will give the highest honor they can to somebody that will disdain the flag and disdain our country. Help yourself. That's the truth. Governor Cuomo this week saying America never was great. My advice to him is get out. Amen. Just leave. I used to love that bumper sticker. I'm gonna have to talk code to you now a little bit. There used to be a bumper sticker people would put on the car, and it would say, if your heart, big old Valentine type heart, is not in America, get your, and then there's a picture of a donkey, out. And I think the donkey is representing the biblical word for the donkey. Amen? That's exactly my sentiments. Amen. Now, Governor Cuomo there, I mean, what in the world? America never was great? I want to tell you something. America gave a constitution, gave freedom that no other nation has ever had. It is great, was great, and would be great now if God's people could still be in charge. Think about it. We were the first government that governed a nation by the consent of the governed, by the population, by the people. We give the right. Washington, D.C. thinks they're a dictator. No, they're not. The people gave the right, and we can take it away. And the fact that we kind of moved the needle back in this last election, had a bunch of them blowing the gas and throwing a rod and spinning the wheels. But the truth of the matter is, we are still a great nation if we can keep it. That's what old Ben Franklin said after the Constitutional Convention. Somebody said, Mr. Franklin, what have you done? He said, we've given you a republic if you can keep it. Right. Now, we've lost it. We need to get it back. Amen. There's no doubt about that. But I see this message here sent to the nobleman, a type of God. He's gone. Jesus, he's gone. He's coming back. He's going to set up his kingdom. But they sent a message after him. We'll not have this man reign over us. The message today that we see today is we're sending to God, we don't care what you say is morally right, we're going to do this. The sex perversion that's going on today is unbelievable. That's sending a message to God. See, God has already given his message to us in the book. He's told us what is right and what is wrong. And what we're saying is forget what you want or what you say. This is what we think and this is what we want. And that's what's going up as a message toward God. Even this morning, the moral perversion is amazing. Folks, do you know right here in Florida, we had to pass a bill in the legislature to keep people from having perversion acts with animals? Do you know that's widespread? In the UK, the United Kingdom, England right now, they say they have on record at least 10,000 men that think they are, now get this, they think they are, it's hard to even say what I'm fixing to say here, they think they are secret human puppies. Now, I'm going to talk code to you again. Puppies, dogs, they wear leather collars. They have a leather mask they put on their face. They eat out of a dog's bowl. They have a leash attached to the collar. And they claim they're secret little puppies. Homosexual crowd. Perversion. Homosexual crowd. Isn't that really secret life? They got books out talking about the secret life of human puppies. Now, the London Guardian newspaper, magazine, whatever it is, reports that there's at least 10,000 belongs to that group. Are we sending God a message? Are we sending him a message that what you said is morally right? We're saying it's not. 30 years ago, so it's, I remember a man, a professor in a college that said this, in 30 years, pedophilia will be accepted and incest will be very close to being accepted as all right. That was 30 years ago. What are you reading and hearing in the news now? I mean, we're sending a message to God. What a message we're sending him. What we're doing is we're trying to say to God that we are denying every boundary you set, every fence that you built, every rule that you made, we are denying that. And what has happened in that thing is God has predicted in Romans chapter 1, and we see it turned over to a reprobate mind. That's what society has done today. I mean, it is satanically inspired. There's no doubt about that. And the message we're sending to God, and by the way, He's not deaf and he's not blind. He's getting it. It is hard to believe that this sort of a thing could actually be happening, but it is, because they want nobody to reign over them. That's the flesh that is out of the pit of hell, and the message is being sent to the nobleman that's on a journey and is coming back to set up his kingdom. That's the Lord Jesus. Now, I see here in the parable the method that the servants were supposed to use. He told them to get gain. And so in verse 15 here, it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained. And look at the last two words, by trading. He told them how to do it. He told them what economic system to use. It was capitalism, not socialism. It was individual effort, individual investment. Do you know something? There's a law God has given, and that's the law of sowing and reaping. Do you know whatever you sow, you're going to reap more than what you sow? Do you know that? And the truth is, if we will work, invest our time, and do our right, there is a way to make a living in this world. It is a way of sometimes the sweat of the face, like Adam was told in the garden. But the truth is, if you will work, you can eat. Amen. Instead of eating what somebody else has worked for. I'm talking about the method was given here, said, by trading. That's capitalism. It's not socialism. It's a sure way. It's the way of sowing and reaping. And you always reap more than is sown. He's told them down here to occupy till I come. Somebody said, well, we're using up the air. We're using up the water. We're using up the earth. No, if we do right, we can occupy till he comes, and he's going to replenish. He's going to rebuild. We're going to get a new earth and a new heavens according to the word of God. And I'm going to tell you something. This one will last as long as God wants it to last. And the truth is, the method for these servants was by trading. It was a sure way. You know, the plan is work. Today, the big socialism debate's on. One political party has pretty well surrendered to it. The Bernie Sanders, the woman that won the precinct in New York. Socialism. I've said it over and over, and I'm going to keep saying it. One inch from communism. Winston Churchill said, we don't need socialism today because we've already got it. Said it won't work here. The only place it'll work, they've already got it. Socialism, he said, it's in heaven and in hell. It won't work on earth. And it won't. It won't. I'll tell you why it won't work on earth. Because man is depraved. He's depraved. He's lost. He's covetous. He's selfish. And that's why everybody won't share and share alike. You say, wouldn't that be the right way? It won't work in these depraved bodies. It just won't. You better face reality. It just won't work. It don't work in Cuba. When we was in Russia, and we'd be on the railroad car going out through almost the wilderness, and of course it was wintertime, so there was a lot of snow. Once in a while, you'd see a pole sticking up through a big snowbank. And we said, why is that pole sticking up there? They'd say, that's where the farmer, those collective farmers, where communism came over, and you could see it. You could see a great big farmhouse, and there'd be several families living in it now, and they'd have little outhouses things out there where others lived. They had taken the farm of some hardworking farmer. They had stolen it and divided it up into a collective farm, and all that was produced went to the state. So what these farmers would do when a pole was sticking up, they had hid a little private garden somewhere, and the pole was telling them where they'd stored and hid something away. Some of them even had planted little gardens on the side of the railroad track, and they would harvest them, they said, at night because it was against the law. That's your socialism working. I mean, it's amazing. Right now, Venezuela's crossing the border into Peru. We got a missionary's name right here on the prayer list to pray for because they're starving to death in Venezuela because socialism moved in and destroyed the economy, and they're trying to cross the border now to get something to eat. The missionaries can tell you about it don't work there. Why do we want it here? We don't. But we got a crowd out there that's got a loud voice. And we got some politicians rather stay in office than do right. Instead of taking a stand for what is right. Socialism not working because of human nature. You know, when I discovered that, I was 4 years old when I discovered that. Yeah, let me tell you about it. Everybody wants to ride free. Everybody, if you're going to ride, I'm going to ride. I'm not going to push and let you ride. I discovered that when I was 4 years old and went to hook my billy goat up to the baby carriage. Right. I got mama's sewing thread, twisted some of it together to make plow lines. Old Billy was an obedient goat. He was young. I was young. I lined him up. He stood there just like the old mule did for daddy when he was hooking him up to the wagon. I put sewing thread on him. I hooked him to the baby carriage, four-wheel baby carriage. I got me some lines, sewing thread. I crawled in the baby carriage and said, get up, Billy. That's what I heard Daddy say to me. Giddy up. Billy didn't giddy up. Billy looked around at me, and I could hear what he was saying under his breath. If you're going to ride, I'm going to ride. And I'm not lying to you. My hand on the Bible, he jumped in the baby carriage right on top of me. So help me God, he jumped right in the baby carriage on top of me, and he outweighed me. And I'm trying to get him out. You know what I finally did? I bit a plug out of him. I still got goat hair. I remember getting a mouthful of goat hair. I got him out, though. He was a socialist. If anybody's going to ride free, I'm going to ride free. That's why it won't work, folks. It won't work anywhere. It won't work in America. Guarantee it won't. And we got a bunch of fools out there going to try it because, see, like Margaret Thatcher said in England, what's wrong with socialism is pretty soon you run out of giving away other people's money. And that's exactly what it is. I'm talking to you about sending a message to God instead of trading like he said, instead of working like he said, instead of investing like he said. We all want to do like that one and hide the talent in a napkin and bury it and just be a couch potato and sit there and let somebody else pay our bills. I'm sorry, but that's the human nature. We all got it. Thank God for some that are doing right by the Lord. You know what Paul said about that? He said, if a man won't work, neither shall he eat. That's what he said. You see, whatever you eat and whatever you're gobbling up, somebody else did earn it. That's the sad truth, but it is true. Somebody else had to earn it or you wouldn't have it. I've said this over and over in this pulpit for 48 years almost. I have stood here and said the government can't give you anything that it didn't take from somebody else because it don't produce a thing on its own. Right. Amen and amen, it's the truth. You know what? It fails because of human nature. It won't work. Thank God for those that will earn. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be charitable to those in really in need, but there's a whole pile of them. The only thing they work at is finding where the next free handout's at. Somebody said, if you want your mother to take care of you, that's maternalism. If you want your papa to take care of you, that's paternalism. Start with a P, P-A. If you want the government to take care of you, that's socialism. If you want your comrades to take care of you, that's communism. If you want God to take care of you, that's Christianity, but he won't do for you what you can do for yourself. Oh, yeah, he gives us some commands to follow. I'm saying to you the method of these servants here to gain, God told them what to do. Told them to trade. Told them to go to work. While they wait, they weren't just supposed to sit. And I want to say to you, if these values I've been talking to you about this morning is worth anything, they're worth you voting. I don't know all the best candidates. I know some bad ones. They got a sign right down here close to us. A fellow got a sign up says, dump Trump. You see it? I want to dump the fellow that put up the sign. I know a little bit about him. He's a rank liberal of the worst kind. He got voted out in Orlando. Daniel Webster, friend of ours and friend of the church, beat him up there. Now what's he doing down here in our district running? All right, I'll get off on that, except to say I hope he loses. You say, can you say that from the pulpit? Didn't you hear me? I sure can. Amen. The truth is, the method here was to get out and go to work and earn something. Stand on your own 2 feet. You guys, older guys, you remember on the job working years gone by, construction work or whatever, paving a road, digging a ditch, building a building, whatever. You remember workers joking with each other sometime, and I'm talking about back when men didn't stand on shovels, they used shovels. I'm talking about working. But did you ever have a man joking around with each other, and one of them would stick his hand back like this? I'm trying to stay near the microphone. See my hand behind my back? And we'd do that, and we'd say to the fellow we were joking at, we'd say, you're going to back up to get your paycheck this week. You can't look the boss in the eye the way you've been goofing up. Right? Anybody remember that? You don't remember that? Oh, come on. The truth of the matter is, there's a whole bunch of folks ought to be backing up to get what they get. I saw a stat the other day. So help me, I saw a stat. It said that there are folks that are so well informed and trained, they do nothing else, couch potatoes, TV, cell phone, you name it, But they know where to go to get all the handouts. And that if they tap all the places that they can tap, they'll make more money than the average working man will. That stinks. But it's true. I hate to say it, but it's true. I tell you this. I look in this parable and I can't really expound much of it. I see the message they sent. I see the method they were told to use. One of them didn't. He hid his. Then I see at the end, you're not going to like this, but the word's right there. When the master gets back, that crowd that said he couldn't reign over them, he said, bring hither and slay them before me. That's judgment. That's judgment. The judge is going to come back. The judge is going to call court in one day. The judge is one day going to pass sentence. Master slaying time here in verse 27. 27, the enemies that said, we'll not have this man reign over us. We're not going to let you reign over us. He's going to judge that crowd according to his commandments. Listen to me. God has told us what to do. Not only how to be saved by trusting Jesus, but how to live a life after we're saved. He's told us what kind of Christian character, what it ought to be made out of. He's told us how we ought to treat our fellow man. All in the book. It's all there. It's all there. And yet, the message goes up, we don't care what you said. We're going to do it our way. And the time is coming that the enemies are going to face the master when he returns. And they're going to be judged according to his word, his commandments. Now notice here in verse 21, one of them hid the talent, didn't he? One of them did nothing, just did nothing. But then he lost even the one talent, didn't he? He lost it all. I want to say to somebody listening to me, even in the building or on in radio land, doing nothing is not a safe place. It's not a safe place from the judgment of God. Well, I never murdered nobody, preacher. The rich man in hell never murdered anybody either. But he died lost, lifted up his eyes in torment in hell. I want to tell you, you don't have to murder somebody to go to hell. You don't even have to be a thief to go to hell. You've got sins enough without any of the big ones you'd like to name. And no sin's going to enter heaven. None. It's all got to be paid for. You know what God's word says. You know he gave his only begotten son. We've been singing about it this morning. You know the truth. How many times you heard the truth that God knew you couldn't make it. You couldn't pay for your own sins. You couldn't live a perfect life. So he sent his son to live a perfect life for you and to take your sins on him and pay for them on the cross. And this word, just as clear as the nobleman gave here to these servants, today that word to you is receive Christ and get saved. Have your name written above. But you just take your napkin and wrap it up. I didn't do nothing too bad. At least I didn't lose your talent, Lord. That talent, that life that God gives you, he gave it to you more, bigger purpose behind it than for you just to hide it. Amen. And to set on it. And after you get saved, don't set on it. Amen. Get busy. But just trying to say, well, I didn't do anything. I just kept it right here and that was safe ground. No, it is not safe ground. You know what? When Jesus was crucified on the cross, there was a crowd, you read it over there, there was a crowd that it says, sitting down, they watched him there. Sitting down, they watched him there. I don't know, for a long time, this whole population of the world has been trying to find neutral ground with Jesus Christ, but there's no neutral ground. You're for him or are you against him? You believe on him or you don't? You accept him or you reject him? No middle ground, no middle ground. You can't wrap it up in a napkin and hide it. It's not safe. The judge is coming back. And the ones that said, we'll not listen to your word, sent the message after him, we'll not hear what you want, we'll not do what you want, we'll pervert everything you stood for, you send that message to him. He's coming back. He got the message. He's coming back. This lost world that says, we'll not have Jesus reign over us, is going to face him. But this time he won't be the meek and lowly Jesus. He'll have fire coming out of his eyes. You read the book of Revelation. He's coming back in judgment. All right now, so So glad I can tell you he wants to be your Savior now. He stands to welcome you with open arms. He said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out. But he is coming back as judge. And for those that say, well, not have this man reign over us, he's coming back in judgment. Read the book of Revelation. See how many folks lose their lives and go through an awful time, including finally winding up in hell, simply because they rejected Jesus Christ, God's plan, God's word. What kind of message are you sending this morning? I'm going to give an invitation like we do. Invite folks on the authority of the Bible, on the authority that God gives us. Invite you to come receive Christ. That's our message, for you to come and receive Christ. Now, what message are you sending to him? Yes, I will, or no, I won't. Think about it. Jesus said, whosoever confesseth me before men. That's what a fellow does when he leaves that pew and comes down the aisle. He's confessing before men. He's confessing before people. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. He died for me. I'll accept him. That's the message you can send this morning. Or you can send the message, I just wrapped it in a napkin. I haven't done anything too bad. I'm just sit here. I'm just going to sit here. That's not safe ground. What kind of message are you sending this morning up to God? Would you bow your heads with me, please? How many of you can say, I remember when I sent the message to God that I willingly accept your son? He is my Savior. I'm not ashamed of him. Remember when you sent that message to God? Would you raise your hand if you ever sent that message to God? Thank you. So many, so many. You may put them down. But are you here and you'd say, preacher, I fear the message I've sent to God is not going to be good. I'm not in a safe place. I've tried to ignore. I tried to dodge. I tried to hide the life God gave me away from him, buried in a napkin somewhere. And I've never openly confessed Jesus Christ is my Savior. Are you here and you say, preacher, help me in mind. I need to receive Christ. Would you pray for me? When you think about me, will you pray for me? Would you lift that hand right now? I need to be saved and I know it. I've heard over and over and never received Christ. I'm not asking you if you joined the church or if you've been baptized or if you've got mom and dad fooled or the preacher fooled. I'm asking you, is it real? What kind of message? God knows the truth, don't he? You know, the news today can send fake stuff out, but you can't send anything and fake God out. He knows the whole truth, all about us, all about us. Father, I pray you'd bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing. We'll step down to the front. I'll meet you here if you'll come and say, preacher, I want to receive Christ. Will you do it? What kind of message are you sending God this morning? Will you come? Come on as we sing. Just as